Okay, so let's go to the end of the parsha. We really only have 2 days. We got to decide if maybe over vacation we'll do parsha maybe a few times a week, like on like either I'll just record it and send it to you guys or something like that. Okay, anyways, but we only have 2 days this week, so the very end of Baloscha is the story of
the very end.
Of Miriam speaking against Moshe because of the Isha Kushit Asher Lakach.
We have a famous pasuk in here.
There are a lot of famous things going on there. But so I want to highlight the way in which a single move in a midrash can completely and entirely invert and subvert perhaps the simple pshat of the Torah in ways that we don't even necessarily realize when we are reading that midrash. Okay, so the story begins with but daber Miriam Aaron Moshe lo ha'isha hakushit asher lakach ki isha kushit lakach. Right, he spoke about the isha kushit that he took, for he had taken an isha kushit, which is a very redundant pasuk, but. Okay.
Do they jump on that?
Now, who is the Isha Kushit that he spoke of?
The Midrash.
Good. So the Midrash says Tzipora. And he says that why is she called the Isha Kushit?
She was like as surely as a Kushit.
Right. She was as beautiful. She was as surely beautiful as one who is black is black. Right, that's the midrashic way of reading the phrase. Right, correct. That's the midrashic way. What?
Any color?
What?
Is Kisha any color?
Oh, there are many problems with that statement, but hold that. Well, hold that for a second. Good. What else might it mean? Well, the Rasag says I don't know exactly what he wants. He just says Hakushit Hayafa. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. What is the other alternative? So now I should point out that according to Rashi, therefore, what is the pshat of the story? You've probably heard this before. So what exactly is Miriam complaining about? Right, meaning by saying it's Isha Kushit Asher Lakach, there's a problem if you identify Isha Kushit Asher Lakach with his wife that we already knew he was married to, because why are you only complaining now? And therefore, what are Chazal forced to say?
Spend too much time for nation, not enough time.
No, it's more than that, right? That it can't be that he married her, because it's not a problem to marry. So if it's only one wife, and we already know they're married, so what must Miriam be complaining about?
Because they got divorced.
Well, they didn't get divorced, but yeah, he separated from her, right? Meaning he didn't actually divorce her. Why did he separate from her in the Midrash?
Because
Moshe gets nevuah at all times, so he can't be his wife, because then he might become tummy carry, and then he would have to, etc. Right? And then the Midrash continues. What? Yes, Ariel, and this is the point I'm getting to, right? Right? Yes! Right? And then what happens? What? Right? Well, let's just play it out. According to Chazal, the whole story goes as follows. Right? How does it continue? Right, it's talking about Tzipora. Now the problem is, how can he complain about the fact that he married Tzipora? He can't, and she can't. Rather, Miriam can't, and therefore it's about separating. Al odot ha'isha kushit asher lakach ki isha kushit lakach. And then the next pasuk is vayomru. Now this is Moshe. This is Miriam and. Aaron, vayomru harak ach b'Moshe diber Adonai halo gam banu diber vayishma Adonai. End of story. That's all we know. Oh no, God also spoke to us. That's it. That's all the evidence we have. That's it. So Chazal build an entire story about this, and they say the Isha Kushit is Tzipora. They're not complaining about the marriage. They're complaining about the fact that Moshe decided that because he gets prophecy at all times, that he has separated from his wife. And how did they know that he separated from the wife? So they read this midrashically connected to the previous story, which is the story of Eldad Umedad, right? Who become Nevi'im b'machaneh, and when Tzipora hears about it, Tzipora says, Oyvei, now their wives won't be with them. And Miriam says, what? What happened? What do you mean? My husband's no longer with me since he became a Navi. And then Aaron and Miriam say, but wait, we're also Navi, but we're allowed to be married. And then God speaks to them, and they start screaming, Mayim, Mayim, we need to go to the mikvah, because right, they experience for a moment the uniqueness of Moshe's Nevuah, which is that it can come at any time. Right? That is Chazal's story. Right? And then Hashem comes and tells them, by the way, the reason you're different from Moshe is because Moshe is a unique Navi, right? You may be Nevi'im, but you're not Nevi'im like Moshe. Okay, that's the story. If you didn't know this entire Midrashic, sort of, these 10 steps in the Midrashic process, what would the simple shot be here? He took another wife. Right? He took another wife. Right? Yes? Yeah. Right, that would be the simple shot. Now, when did he take a different wife? Right? Was it at this moment? Was it at some other point? So the Rashbam, actually, the sort of radical Pashtan that he is, still actually thinks that the only way of understanding this story is by invoking, if you remember when we were talking Parshat Shemot, the very bizarre Midrashim that exists in almost every Jewish tradition from the ancient world, like in Chazal, in Philo, in Josephus, in everything, that Moshe spent a period of his life as a general in Ethiopia, correct, right? You know, as is detailed in, you know, the Ten Commandments, right? The movie, right? Based on Josephus. That's what they did, right? There's a long Midrash called Midrash Moshe Rabbeinu, Toldot Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was a king in Cush for 40 years. And they're complaining, you know, about the, about this, the second wife. Right now, the reason that the right Rashbam doesn't want to believe that this is Tzipora is very simple, because Tzipora she's from Midian. She's from Midian. She's not from Cush. She's just not from Ethiopia. She just isn't. Right, that's just a fact. Okay. Now, admittedly, the Rashbam right says that they're complaining about Lo Shochavima, okay, etc.
How do you interpret
now?
Which one? The one that says it was Tzipora.
Now you could right, you could get this in other ways that he took a new wife. Now, then you'd have to explain. You know, you'd have to explain technically how he managed to get an Ethiopian wife in the middle of the desert, right? The Sinai Desert. It's not like impossible. Like it's not like Ethiopia is so far from the Sinai Desert. It's not like a little bit strange.
Married her
earlier. Right? So he says it was that he married her and they didn't know that she hadn't actually been with him. Now why they're talking about it now, I have no idea. Now you could also read this as, right, simply he took another wife, wife now. Right?
But whether or not he lived with his wife, is that like a
Okay. So, but let me point out, this is something that Bazak points out in an article of his, but I think it's very important to realize that in addition to sort of the million narrative questions that get to this point, right? Meaning we could spend hours trying to figure out how did the Midrash get to its point, right? And how do the Rashbam get to its point? And if it really means a new wife, how did she get here? And why is he marrying her now? And if it's talking about an old wife, why are they talking about it now? But there's one point that I think we forget because we get so caught up in the narrative, right? I mean, all the questions you're asking is like, why are they bothering to talk about this? When did they come? Why? According to Chazal, right, what is the lesson about sexuality that you learn from this story?
Did a consummate your marriage?
No.
Is there a consummate your marriage?
That there is a level at which Kedusha is in tension with the possibility of married life. Right? Right? Meaning, you know, the Christian ideal?
Yeah.
Right, we don't have it for most people, but according to Chazal, it is a theoretical construct, right, that someone would be too kadosh to engage in normal sexual married life. According to the Rashbam or any other pshat reading that reads this as he took a second wife, Right? The message of the story is literally the opposite, which is that presumably Aaron and Miriam had some problem with Moshe's multitude of wives, and God comes in and says,
okay,
no, it's okay, even if you are Moshe Rabbeinu.
Doesn't the response say he didn't be with her though?
Yes, right, with that wife in Cush. Right, but now, but according to him, right? So according to Rashbam, he didn't sleep with the wife in Cush, but he is sleeping with Sipora. I mean, there's no reason to assume that. And if you take any other pshat reading, right, in which this is a new wife, right, then not only does he have one wife that he's actually like married to in a active sense, but he has two. Right, what actually is at stake here? In addition to all the narrative questions, is there an ideal at all anywhere in Torah, right, like in Pshat, of the right holy monastic ideal of someone who, due to their commitment to God, is not engaged in married life? Chazal's midrashic read of this story offers the possibility that it is. Any read in which this is either a second wife that he's marrying, right? If it's a second wife he's marrying for sure, right? There is no such monastic ideal, because even Moshe Rabbeinu, who's Kodesh Kadashim talking to God, is able to have not just one wife but more than one. Right, and even if you take the Rashbam sort of slightly modified, right, there's no hint in the Rashbam at all that he's not intimate with Tzipora. The point is, maybe he wasn't intimate with the Isha Kushit, but he takes it as a davar pasha that his married life with Tzipora is normal.
But it still seems that Moshe, Aaron here was saying it's wrong that he wasn't with the Isha Kushit, or they're saying what was the complaint that Aaron here had a corner?
Presumably that he slept with this other wife. Right.
So, according to that,
right.
The problem is they stopped. No.
Correct. But he's still sleeping with. Right. So maybe there's a problem with having two wives or having a wife who is an Isha Kushit, right, or something like that, but not Tzipora.
Right.
Right. And right. So this is a point that Rabbi Zak made that I think, right, we sort of don't even think about it. Right. Is that Chazal, in addition to the narrative claims that they're making, right? And this is what I think sometimes we don't think about enough in the Midrash. Right. Is in addition to the narrative claims they're making, meaning how do we get to the story? Right, the upshot of the narrative they construct has a lesson which has nothing to do with this story, right? Or not fundamentally to do with the story, right? What the upshot of their narrative is, they're arguing that there is a monastic ideal at some level, which, to be fair, flows over into shitot like Ben Azai, right? Like someone who can say theoretically, Nafshi chashka b'Torah, right? I can't get married because I love Torah so much, right? But then the sort of pshat read tells you that no, maybe there really is no such ideal, because even Moshe Rabbeinu, who if there was anybody who would fit that bill, it would be Moshe. He's married to at least one wife in an active sense, if not more. Okay, and so again, what I think methodologically, what I wanted to point out is that sometimes we just need to remember that in addition to the specific moves that Midrashim are making, right, we need to sometimes take a step back. And you know, if you've been in my, you know, coming to Agadata, you know that I make this point, right, in Agadata. You need to take a step back and say not just what exactly are they doing at each level of the, you know, each line in the narrative. The question is, what exactly is the message that they are getting there? And here they're actually making a quite wild claim. Right? Even if it is practically not, you know, relevant for most people, right? They are creating the possibility of a monastic ideal, which in pshat doesn't exist, or even worse, in this story, it may be evidence of the opposite. Right? That's how radical this is, right? Because a simple pshat read would mean that Moshe took a second wife, Moshe and Aaron were upset about it, because why are you taking two wives? And God said, Moshe knows what he's doing. Sorry, Miriam and Aaron, right? Right, and God Himself comes to defend Moshe's bigamy. Right? That's like, right, you could not get two more radically different reads of this story, right, on a sort of meta lesson level. Okay, and that's just, again, I'm not going to solve it and go through every exact point and proof and da 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 da. I just want to point out that, right, we sometimes just need to take that step back and realize what just happened when Midrashim make their claim, right, and then we can assess not just the local narrative choices they make, but the theological, moral, religious lesson that emerges from it, and how much Chazal invested in making that lesson a plausible read in the Torah. Okay?